Do you know what the Stonewall Riots were about?
I never have read about it.
No, I don't know nothing about it.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street.
Love, hot, summer, from now on.
I think they thought that people would just go home or run, especially since they were gay people. They're not used to gay people standing up at all, especially in front of police.
Gay history rap!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Marriage equality proposals reach three high courts and a legislature. South Africa's Equality Court rejects a religious right to hate. And tracing Stonewall from riot to celebration. All that and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Monique Lukens.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 23rd, 2018. Marriage equality is on the march in several countries around the world. The Philippine Supreme Court began hearing oral arguments on a petition to open the civil institution to same-gender couples on June 19th. Jesus Nicardo Falcis III, who became a lawyer just 3 years ago, filed a petition. Two of the justices warned him about what one called this very dangerous case that will require a very intimate reading of the provisions of the Constitution. Falcis acknowledged that he was fighting a very powerful heteronormative culture by initiating the case. Controversial President Rodrigo Duterte has previously voiced his support for changing the law in the predominantly Roman Catholic Southeast Asian nation. But presidential spokesman Harry Roque told a press briefing late this week that the Supreme Court and the country are not yet ready for same-sex marriage, adding that it may still be too revolutionary. The government is expected to formally argue its opposition at the Supreme Court on June 26th. There is no time limit for the High Court to issue its decision, and some say it could literally take years.
Peru's Constitutional Court heard a case on June 20th filed by Oscar Ugarteche demanding the legal recognition of his marriage in 2010 to Mexican citizen Fidel Aroche. A lower court in the South American nation had rejected the case on a legal technicality. According to an English-translated report in El Comercio, the court has 30 days to issue a ruling.
And on June 21st, Cayman Islands lawyer Chantel Day and her partner Vicky Bowden-Bush, a nurse from Britain, filed a writ with the Grand Court challenging the government's decision to refuse their application to marry. Their lawyers argue that the laws of the Western Caribbean British Overseas Territory defining marriage as between one man and one woman violate a number of rights guaranteed under the Cayman's Constitution.
Marriage equality may come to gay and lesbian couples in the Czech Republic through legislation rather than the courts. Equality advocates are celebrating the announcement by the Czech government on June 22nd that it was supporting a bill to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. A cross-party collection of 46 lawmakers drafted the bill. An opposing bill sponsored by 37 lawmakers calls for a heterosexuals-only definition of marriage to be enshrined in the country's constitution. The Eastern European nation has offered registered partnerships to same-gender couples since 2006. With the government's backing, it now seems poised to become the first former Soviet bloc country to grant all the rights of civil marriage to those couples. However, major parties have been struggling to create a fully functional government since last October's divisive elections, so it's uncertain exactly when Parliament might begin to actually debate the opposing marriage proposals.
In other news, South Africa's Equality Court has ruled that hate speech is not a protected religious right. It found Cape Town preacher Oscar Buchard of Calvary Hope Ministries in contempt of court for continuing to spew hateful anti-queer rhetoric in public pronouncements, on social media, and in widely distributed email messages. He had promised the South African Human Rights Commission in 2013 to stop distributing what it called derogatory and offensive statements following formal complaints lodged against him. Buhart has written that homosexuals are an abomination to God and should be locked up in cages. He's falsely claimed that 99% of pedophiles are homosexual. And after he read about the execution by the so-called Islamic State in Syria of 9 men and a boy for homosexuality, Buhart appealed to ISIS to come rid South Africa of the homosexual curse. South African culture is still catching up with the laws of the land, which ban sexual orientation-based bias in the Constitution and prohibit public comments that are hurtful, harmful, or promote hatred against gay people. Entrenched societal prejudices still prevail, however, and can be expressed violently, even in major cities, but especially in outlying townships. The Equality Court ordered Buhart to spend 30 days in jail, but suspended the sentence for 5 years. If he makes hateful comments about LGBTQ people in public again during that time, he could go straight to jail.
The World Health Organization has finally removed transgender people from its list of mental disorders. It announced on June 18th that what's generally called gender dysphoria is now characterized by a marked and persistent incongruence between an individual's experienced gender and the assigned sex. While evidence is now clear that it is not a mental disorder, the press release said, there remain significant healthcare needs that can best be met if what it called gender incongruence is reclassified as a sexual health condition. The statement says that the change was made, in part, to combat the stigma that transgender people face and to reduce barriers to care. Some trans activists, however, remain unhappy about what they consider to still be negative connotations about them in the new classification. Progress, even to this point, has been a long time coming. France was the first country to declassify gender dysphoria as a mental disorder 8 years ago. A few other countries have since followed. The European Parliament called on the WHO to declassify gender dysphoria as a mental disorder in 2011, and the American Psychiatric Association declassified it in 2012.
One day after the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights denounced the Trump administration's immigration policy of separating children from their parents who've illegally crossed the southern border as unconscionable, America's UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, announced that the U.S. was withdrawing from the world body's Human Rights Council. It's the first country ever to do so. She charged that the council was anti-Israel, a protector of human rights abusers, and a cesspool of political bias. LGBTQ groups joined the chorus of human rights organizations across the country to condemn the move. Ty Cobb of the Human Rights Campaign wrote that, in recent years, the UN Human Rights Council advanced a number of initiatives focused on LGBTQ human rights, including a 2016 decision establishing an independent expert on sexual orientation and gender identity. With this decision, the Trump-Pence administration is leaving a vacuum at the Human Rights Council that may well be filled by countries that have little or no commitment to universal human rights. Outright Action International released a statement saying in part that withdrawing from the council sends a message to other countries that it is acceptable to walk away from the system when it doesn't suit you to be there. Democratic National Committee Chair Tom Perez didn't pull any punches, criticizing the Trump administration for sending a signal to the world that we're too weak to lead and too cowardly to fight for our foundational values. Trump's withdrawal is especially disturbing given his persistent praise for despots and dictators with abysmal human rights records, not to mention his administration's cruel mistreatment of immigrant families seeking asylum.
But finally...
It's you.
It's me.
And you're Jewish.
Yeah. And I'm black, too. And gay.
That's the now award-winning kiss, generally cheered around the world, from the hit mainstream gay romantic coming-of-age comedy, Love, Simon. Exceptions include India, which banned the film on the day of its planned release earlier this month because of its depiction of gay relationships. But at the MTV Awards on June 16th in Santa Monica, California, The object of Simon's affection, Bram, played by out bisexual Australian actor Keon Lonsdale, was a clear audience favorite, especially because, as one fashion critic put it, the 26-year-old actor rocked a skirt and looked absolutely fabulous doing it.
And best kiss goes to...
Love, Simon. Nick Robinson and Keon Lonsdale.
Wow. First of all, I know Nick really wishes he could be here because I know that he would be so grateful for this moment. I just want to say to every kid, you can live your dreams and wear dresses. You can live your dreams. You can live your dreams and kiss the one that you love, no matter what gender they are. You can live your dreams and you can believe in magic. You can live your dreams and you can be yourself. Thank you so much.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending June 23rd, 2018. Written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the all-new thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Monique Lukens.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
Living up, living up, living up proud.
Was blamed by some on the recent death of Judy Garland, or maybe it was the sweltering New York City summer heat, or maybe it was the contagion of a civil rights movement instilling pride in the possibility of political power into long oppressed minorities. But the world would never be the same after June 27, 1969. Aside from the chance to let their hair down, many people attending events celebrating the Stonewall riots may not even be able to tell you why that uprising is a historic turning point worth celebrating. So This Way Out combed the rich audio archives at our disposal to assemble this LGBTQ Pride Primer.
My sweet Sherry. Hiding place over there,
Before the last weekend of June in 1969, it was illegal in many U.S. cities to serve alcohol to homosexuals or for two men to dance together. Gay bars were often run by organized crime, drink prices were inflated, and police raids and subsequent public ruination were routine. All that changed when the queer patrons of the Stonewall Inn on Christopher Street in New York City's Greenwich Village finally had enough.
Strutting around like a heavy duty
pug.
Now I know we got to get tough, and we can sing it loud now. We can sing it loud now. We can sing it loud now.
Yeah, I'm proud.
Parades and festivals celebrating gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender pride are now held in cities all over the world practically all year round, but the tradition was born in June. Unfortunately, it's not surprising to discover that many people, even those who come out to enjoy the celebrations, don't know what event they're commemorating.
Do you know what the Stonewall riots were about?
I never have read about it, what exactly happened there, and the purpose of it.
I've never heard anything about it. No, I don't know nothing about it.
So just what is this party all about? The significance of June 27, 1969 must be seen against the backdrop of life before that.
This is the new symposium, a program from and for the homosexual community. I'm Baird Searles, and also on hand,
Kermit Lamb.
This discussion was recorded at Pacifica Radio New York just 6 months before the historic event.
I have felt, and I think I've changed even my thinking on this in the last 3 or 4 years, is that homosexuals aren't proud enough to be homosexuals and get out and you know, be militant a little bit and say I am, and it's a little like I'm glad to see now in the racial thing that Negroes now aren't just trying to get along like everybody else. They've seen beauty in their own blackness.
Yeah.
Black is beautiful.
It bears on what you're saying about being proud of homosexual, which I think even at now is a little much to ask of most people, but just being open about it. Since doing this program, and kind of because of doing this program and trying to find people to do this program back at the beginning, it has come so sharply to my attention the total lack of courage that the homosexual community has. And I know the reasons, damn it, and I've been through it myself. I think that is one thing you can really pin on all of you out there is cowardice. I know I'm going to get letters saying, okay, it's easy for you. You're not going to get fired from the station. But it hasn't been that easy. The feeling that I've totally lost contact with my father because of this program. Mm. And I know that people's lives can be ruined if they open up and reveal themselves. On an idealistic plane, we all know that if every homosexual said what he was tomorrow, that the whole situation would be changed for the better. Now, this is obviously a pipe dream. But for every homosexual that does open up and reveal himself, there are that many more people that realize that homosexuals are real, breathing human beings. They are not sex maniacs or freaks. That many more young people that are given the fact that a homosexual life needn't be a disaster.
I know a number of people who are under 25, say, under 20. They all seem to be much more relaxed. I hope it's a sign. I don't know. So do I. There's a certain feeling among many younger people of not caring who knows. They have straight friends who know, and I hope this is sort of indicative of something.
Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud!
June 27th, 1969, as recalled in Brett Artery's 1970 documentary.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street. Almost every homosexual who was in New York at the time of the Stonewall Rebellion has his own private memory of what took place. One of the longtime leaders of the gay rights movement, Craig Rodwell, remembers it this way.
The first night was Friday. I was on the way home from a friend's house. The raid was just starting at that time, and we noticed the crowd. We went over there, and a crowd was gathering out in front. There was a paddy wagon pulled up and a few people being taken out. It started with those few coins and pebbles being thrown at the police, and then the police retreated into the Stonewall. And then after the police barricaded themselves inside, it was like half an hour later, the riot police started moving up Christopher, breaking up the crowd, which had really become a very angry crowd with hundreds of bottles and rocks. There wasn't one window left in the whole place after about 10 minutes. And they broke the crowd up into small groups, and this went on for like 2 or 3 hours, back and forth in the whole area. I think they thought the people would just go home or run, especially since they were gay people. They're not used to gay people standing up at all, especially in front of police. But they would chase people away, and then they'd go around the block and come in another way. And this sort of tug of war went on all evening. And then on Saturday night, it was much the same thing. Starting about 9, crowds started to gather in the area. And then around 11 or 12, they started taking over the street, stopping cars from coming through, unless there were gay people in them. A few fires were set. But generally, there's an angry mood, a lot of chanting, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of assertion of being gay. It was a way of saying we're tired of hiding, tired of leading two lives, tired of denying our basic identity, denying ourselves. Newfound pride, really, a collective pride in their identity.
Another important outgrowth of the riots was the formation of numerous action-oriented homosexual groups in New York and around the country. They're composed for the most part of younger and more militant homosexuals.
It still is a relatively small minority of gay people who do reflect this new spirit, whatever you want to call it. I think it's going to infect the masses of gay people in the coming years.
Gay power is here to stay, and nobody, nobody is going to ignore us any longer.
Hey Joe, get up and go, wouldn't like to tell you twice. Hey Mac, get off my back, didn't ask your advice. There's too much heat out in the street, telling us to move along. Gonna be a long, hot summer from now on. From now on. Hey man, don't understand, we ain't hardly bothering you. This ain't fact, you're just a drag, we ain't nearly finished with you. There's all this heat out on the beach, telling us we don't belong. It's gonna be a long, hot summer. It's gonna be a long, hot summer. A long, hot summer from now on.
Birth of the Gay Pride March, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. On November 2, 1969, in Philadelphia, the Eastern Regional Conference of Homophile Organizations made a resolution that sparked the creation of Gay Pride celebrations. In part, it read, "We propose that a demonstration be held annually on the last Saturday in June in New York City to commemorate the 1969 spontaneous demonstrations on Christopher Street, and this demonstration be called Christopher Street Liberation Day. No dress or age regulations shall be made for this demonstration. We also propose that we contact homophile organizations throughout the country and suggest that they hold parallel demonstrations on that day. We propose a nationwide show of support." Thus was born the Gay Pride Parade as we know it. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
This is Gabrielle Antolovich reporting from West Hollywood for This Way Out. You know what the Stonewall riots were about?
I know a little bit about them.
What do you know?
Oh, some cops came into a bar and some Long Beach cops and
New York.
Okay. Well, anyway, whatever city. But anyway, they came into the bar and they were trying to break up the gays or whatever, and then the gays kicked their butt. That's what I heard.
I just heard like a whole bunch of drag queens just sort of like, you know, barricaded the whole half of the city and just, you know, took over for about a few days.
You know that it wasn't just drag queens, it was leather boys and lesbians and people of color, too.
Yeah.
You know anything about the Stonewall riots?
I don't know a thing about them.
Well, what's the gay parade about?
I guess to celebrate the gay life.
Where you can touch in public and it doesn't, I guess, offend anybody, or you could just be yourself. You know that it's a yearly event to commemorate the Stonewall riots that happened in New York.
No! Did you know that?
No, I knew it was Stonewall, but I didn't know why they called it that.
Maybe I don't know enough about my culture.
We'll be right back.
lies.
Story of good.
Story of bad.
This story made us fight and mad.
His story.
Her story.
Our story. Gay story. History. Gay history. Rap.
Well, back in 1969, a bad lumpy couple named Seymour Pine and the boys in blue decided it was time to keep the big ass and dice in line, so off they marched to a village bar. This time they pushed too far. Their mission was to punish sin. They met a surprise at the Stonewall Inn.
Gay history rap. Stonewall Inn was a sleazy place. To get in, they had to know your face. Reason was mighty clear. You couldn't run a bar for queers. Prices inside were double. We paid them cuz we didn't want trouble. Something was brewing inside. They asked the dykes, feeling pride. Stage was set, people in place. Cops and queers face to face.
History rap!
First three arrested were in drag, but these were not cringing fags. And a crowd gathered, seeing the scene, shouted support to those three queens. Through the door came one more queer, stocky little woman who knew no fear. Screaming, kicking, punching pigs. Crowd gave a yell because she wasn't too big. Running and hiding was a thing of the past when this tough dyke started kicking ass.
History rap!
Tempers flared,
the fun began when the crowd gave her a hand.
Nickels and quarters fell down on the heads of those cops and all around.
Feeling rage, cops hid in the very bar they were supposed to rid.
The crowd smashed down the door, fire spread across the floor.
Three days later, peace was restored. Hinges sprung on closet doors. History rap!
Maybe I don't know enough about my culture.
Sex and discos instead of rights.
Of course, Age of Consent's Gay History rap reads off before AIDS, marriage equality, gender nonconformity, and social media. But don't worry, there's a new swing to the rights these days to keep us busy. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Monique Lukens, with thanks to Brian DeShazer, Sugar Beach, Mary Watkins, the Berkeley Women's Music Collective, and the Tom Robinson Band performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening. Online at thiswayout.org and on WMPG Portland, Maine, KOPN Columbia, Missouri, 5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.